No. We'll be starting in chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it." Now this isn't really the main part of the sermon, but this is a good illustration of what also says in the Bible, that the devil, who was our adversary, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And although it doesn't say he was walking, seeking whom he could devour, he was walking to and fro from the earth, probably looking for people to get him to sin, to take him from God. And he's probably coming back here now, because the Bible also says that he is the accuser of the brethren. So he probably is back here to start accusing some of God's people. But in chapter 8, or verse 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now, that is quite a privilege for Job, wouldn't you say? The Lord, God, is boasting on a man, a simple man. Now, I personally believe that Satan, when he went up there to accuse God's followers of doing wrong, of accusing the brethren, as he said, he purposely left out Job, because he knew he didn't have anything to accuse him on. And so God was like, "Ah, you forgot something there, Satan. You forgot about my servant Job. Job, who is a true follower of me." And Satan, probably out of spite, said, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house, and about all the things that he hath on each side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, we all know the story of Job. Satan went out, he murdered his children, he destroyed his crops, he destroyed his cattle, his camels, and his sheep. And Job, being the good man that he was, said, "And naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. See, Job was a man of wisdom. And Job was a man who knew that everything he had, everything good in his life, came from God. And Job also knew that if there was a reason why God took away everything, he knew there had to be something bigger than him behind it. Job is a great example for all of us. But as I go back to the beginning of chapter 1, I'd like you to go back there too. When it talks about Job, it doesn't seem to me to be some great depth or great secret as to why God was breaking on Job. It says in verse 1, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Well, that's the first point right there. He feared God and he hated evil. That is so simple, but how many people who call themselves Christians ignore that? I mean, you go into the house of a lot of Christians today, and what do you find? Bad movies, bad music, bad TV shows, bad magazines. And in the minds of a lot of these people, they're not doing anything wrong. They're probably thinking, "Well, what's wrong with this movie? What's wrong with this TV show? What's wrong with this magazine?" You know, it's not, you know, a Playboy. It's not an X-rated magazine. No, but it's full of gossip. It's full of women in immoral dress. It's full of articles tearing down people. You know, there are people out there. You know, I'm not one who admires celebrities. I admit that. And I'm not one to try and put them on a pedestal or use them as an example in church. But if you're writing articles that are tearing down people, even a celebrity who may not be perfect, that's still gossip. That's still wrong. Now, if they put it out there for everyone to see, that's different. It's their fault. But gossiping, even if it's someone against someone who is immoral, is still wrong. And lying about someone, even if it's immoral, is still wrong. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It doesn't say against your good neighbor. It doesn't say against your honest neighbor. It doesn't say against your godly neighbor. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And Job just hated evil. He hated the evil of this world. And it also says that when his children went feasting, Job rose up early in the morning. See, he wasn't lazy also. He got up early every morning to do what he was supposed to do. He wasn't a sluggard. He knew that there was jobs that were required of him, and he was not afraid to do it. I'm sure there were times in which he was thinking, oh, God, I just want to stay in bed today. And we all go through that, I know. But when God has a task for you, or you have a task that you've promised to God, and you have to get up early to do it, then you got to get up early to do it. That's just the way it is. And he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. That's his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. He did something that is probably the most neglected thing among Christians today. He was praying for his children. Job wanted his children to serve the Lord as well. Job wanted his children to go to heaven. So he rose and committed burnt sacrifices for his children. And parents, please pray for your children. If you want your kids to turn out right, you can give them the best education. You could give them the best, you can take them to church. You can, you know, give them the gospel, read the Bible with them. But if you don't pray for them, you're neglecting one of the most important parts. Pray for your children. Weep for your children. If you have children, even if you're 80 and they're 60, continue to pray for them because they could backslide at 60. If you have grandchildren, pray for your grandchildren as well. My great-grandmother, when she died, she had, three children still alive, 17 grandchildren still alive, 22 great-grandchildren still alive, and one great-great-granddaughter. And she prayed for us every day. Yeah. I know she did. And with all those people, that's pretty long prayer time. But Job did this continually. He didn't just get up every once in a while and say, okay, I'll do this, or I'll do it when I feel like it, or I'll do it when it's convenient. It says, thus did Job continually. And when Job was cursed, when his children were killed, when his lands were taken away from him, when his crops were destroyed, when his cattle, his camel, and his sheep, his goats were all stolen, he still said, the most important thing. Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked will I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thus, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now again, Satan went back and was talking to God, and God once again says, hath thou considered my servant Job, this is chapter 2, verse 3, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holding fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he will give for his life. Put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone in his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, his life is in thy hand. Behold, he is in thy hands, but save his life. And Satan went and tortured him in all kinds of ways, but he spared his life. Now, those around him weren't exactly comforting to him. I mean, first of all, his wife says, dost thou retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Wives, if your husband's going through problems, don't tell him to curse God and die. In fact, husbands, if your wife's going through that problems, don't tell him that. And of course, his friends came, and at first they sat with him, they mourned with him, but then they started accusing him. And these friends of his were vile comforters. But still, Job, although he didn't understand and admitted that he for the most part remained loyal to God and didn't sin. And when it was all said and done, and God finally had enough of all that was going on, and God told his friends in the last chapter of Job, verse 7, chapter 42. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray with you. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have spoken of me in the things which ye have not spoken of me the things which is right like my servant Job. These men had angered God, and he said, you go to Job, you bring your sacrifices to Job, and have him pray for you, lest my wrath be upon you. Now, this to me proves Job was good, because Job prayed for them and took the sacrifices. I would have been like, oh yeah, after all the stuff you said to me, you expect me to go to God and bail you out now. Is that what you want? I'll admit, I might be tempted to say that. But Job, in chapter 10, oh, I'm sorry, in verse 9, so Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shunammite and Zophar the Naamite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. See, right there, Job knew that it is not the Lord's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God had told these men that for me to accept your repentance, for me to accept that you're sorry, you have to do it through Job. Job has to accept your sacrifice. I've chosen Job to be your preacher, your pastor for this, and you have to go to him, and he's going to pray for you. And Job could have said no. Job could have said, forget you guys. But Job chose to obey the Lord in all things. Even when in his flesh, he was probably thinking, yeah, right, I'm going to help you guys out. You guys have been so horrible to me. And that is basically what sums it up. This sounds so simple. But one thing I've learned is that we as Christians, we as humans, tend to ignore the simple solutions that are before us because we want to deal with the complicated problems. But you can't, and as Jess could probably point out, sorry, Jess, you can't solve advanced calculuses or advanced algebras. He's the engineer, so. But you can't do that until you learn 2 plus 2 is 4. Or 2 plus 4 is 6. Or 1 plus 1 is 2. Job got the basics down perfectly. And because he got the basics down perfectly, he was able to advance into the deeper areas. And in our lives, we need to start with the basics. Go to our Bible. Pray every day. Fear God. Hate evil. There's nothing wrong with hating evil. God hates evil. We should hate evil. Pray for those who are sinning. Love those who are hurting. Don't tell them to curse God and die. Love them. Care for them. And pray for your children most of all. Because our children are who's going to take the gospel into the next generation. And if we don't prepare our children, we're going to have a lost generation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you now for this opportunity to come before this church, Lord, and preach this message. I ask you, God, that if I did your will, Lord, that this would be a message that the people of this church could take into their lives, Lord, and be an example for them. And I ask you, God, to please be with Brian and Mark, Lord, as they preach this well. Give them the strength that they need to preach a message from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.